I love it down here. This is so good. Ed Bednarz was saying it's like home week for us. Well, they're not up here anymore. But Pastor Cannon, Pastor Minicello, the Hadley pastors, Annette and Ed, and Danny Eaton, I taught second grade in Sunday school too. And they all look the same except for Danny. He's got a beard now. But I look different. I don't know. But that was 40 years ago. We're talking about friendships. 40 years we've been friends. It's amazing. It's amazing. If you have Bibles, you can open to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. While you're doing that, think about. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And I have a little hard time with that because I have seven sisters and I don't have a brother. So I don't know, but I know what seven sisters is like. But don't feel bad for me because I never wore hand-me-downs. Right? Never. You know? And I was my mother's favorite son. So she always told me that, you're my favorite son. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And then I realized later on, I have seven sisters. But a friend loveth at all times, at all times. And then think about that in relation to these few verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And then the love of Christ constrained us. And then in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The thing about friends I was thinking about is like, friends see many times your trespasses, but they don't impute them to you. They know of them, and they might even counsel you, like Job's friends, a little bit, about what did you do wrong. Many times they know you did wrong, but they're aware of it, but they don't impute it to you. Christ came into the world and he did not impute our trespasses to us. And I was thinking about how easy it is to do that without even realizing it sometimes with us. It can be a little thing. You know, somebody cuts you off on the road. I was sharing this the other night, and you don't even know them, but you have already passed a sentence on them that is not good. You know, you imputed a trespass to them. They did something wrong to you, and now they are your enemy forever. I remember one time somebody cut somebody off really bad at a rotary. You have rotaries down here, right? Rotary, that's, you know. Anyways, they got so angry at the person. I can't believe they did that. And they got all these things, lasers shooting out at them while they're driving. The person's like driving, and then they kept going. And then they turned into the church, the same church the person was going to. You know? And then what do you do with that? It's like, my brother, you were born for adversity. But I love you at all times. But back there, oh no. And so we do this many times in our lives without thinking about it. People do things. I mean, sometimes people do very serious things to us that are wrong, or that offend us, or that wound us, and we can't get over the wound. It takes a long time. And maybe we don't outwardly do anything to them, but inwardly it's there, like the cockatrice egg. And you have imputed a trespass to them. But think about it. Jesus Christ came, God in Christ, God in his Son came to the world. And if anybody could impute trespasses, it's God, all of them to us. That we did, but he says he came not to impute trespasses. Not that he didn't know about them. He did. He died for them all. But not to impute them to us, but rather to reconcile us to himself. A friend loveth at all times. Even when they know you're wrong, even when they know you're off, they still love you. What, like was said this morning, what greater friend do we have than God? There is no greater friend. And he came and he would not impute our trespasses to us, but instead reconciled us to God. And then he has given to us that same ministry. And we tend to think only God can forgive everybody like that. Well, do we have God inside of us tonight? Yes, I have Christ inside of me. I am a Christian. And God has given me this ministry of reconciliation, not imputing trespasses to people. Reconciling. Somebody has wronged me. What can I do to make this right? A friend loveth at all times. Somebody wounded me, and I'm having trouble forgetting it. Go to the cross and recognize what God has forgotten about you. And you don't impute the trespasses. You give them to God, and then you have a ministry to that person of reconciliation. How can I make things right between us? How can I make things right with you and God? Telling people God loves you. God cares about you. It's not about flesh and blood. It's not about that. The warfare isn't about that. It's about hidden things, spiritual things. And these are the things it's about. Keeping people from God. Keeping the people of God in an area where they're so wounded and affected that they begin to impute trespasses, even amongst yourself. Maybe you don't do it to anybody else, but you do it to yourself. Oh, I'm a terrible Christian. Imputing a trespass. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I'm a believer. Oh, I keep doing the same thing that I don't want to do in Romans chapter 7. And you begin to impute or condemn yourself, trespasses against yourself. And we forget that God has given us the same ministry he had of reconciliation. You are made right with me. The love of Christ constrains us. It compels us. It's inside of us because it's shed abroad in our heart. And like, I was thinking about this too. If the love of Christ isn't constraining me, then what is? The trespasses that people do against me many times. And it comes out. It's like, to constrain means to press together. And if you press something together, like take a sandwich, you know, and press it together and it starts oozing out of the sides, all this good stuff that you know, and like it's really good. But take a wound or an offense and compress it inside of you and it'll begin to ooze out. It can constrain you. The love of Christ is what is constraining us tonight. When we operate in the love of Christ, we meditate on the love of Christ. It's the only thing that matters. And it begins to, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and the love of Christ is in me, and I meditate on it, and I rehearse it, and I think about it, and I come to hear messages, and that's all you hear. and get built up, and it's, you say, oh, I'm like the woman in Song of Solomon, sick of love. How? No, I'm not sick of love. It overwhelms me, but I'm never tired of hearing about it, never tired of receiving it, never tired of showing it to people. It constrains me. It constrains me, and then nothing else matters. Wounds, offenses, things that happen, trespasses, doesn't matter. I'm about a ministry of reconciliation, of making things okay. A friend loveth at all times. I know you did something wrong. I know that people have wronged me. I know this has happened, but I love you because of Christ, because of his love for me. I can love you with his love. And it turns into a ministry to people. And it might be to one person, might be to one family member, or it could be to a whole church and community. This love that constrains us because God truly is our friend, and he does love us at all times. And now he calls us to do the same. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
Okay, would you stand with me for a moment, please? Stand. Great. Okay. There's so much possibility of us being divided. There's so much possibility of saying, you know, you're not like me, or we're not from the same place. There's so much room for division and misunderstanding amongst people. All right, so turn to your neighbor and just say, it's very difficult to be with you. Okay, how come when we said that, this room exploded with noise? Because we know how true it is, right? It's very difficult to be with you. Except, however, hallelujah, what we just heard, there is a mystery amongst us. Wow, it's amazing. How many gods do we have? One. How many persons? Three. Is this a mystery? Yes. There are three persons, one God. Each of the persons is fully God, but he is one. How many people here today? One. How many people? Many persons. Count them. But there is one. We are one. One body. And we are very complicated people. We are very sensitive. We have antenna. We have perceptions. I think women are the most intelligent between men and women. How about it? The women know what's going on. But we're dumb. The guys are dumb, huh? Okay, so, you know, what's going on? What? It's simple. The women go, no, it isn't. It's very deep and complicated. Okay. You hurt me. The man is saying, huh? Okay. I am sensitive. Okay, wait a minute. Hold it. Let's not get off here. Hold on. Father, bless these thoughts in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn to Proverbs 19 for one portion, and then we'll go to a couple others. Proverbs. Boy, did we enjoy Pastor Ben. I don't think we could have had a guest speaker that could have drawn more body members and built us up in such a gentle and sensitive way that he did. And it just touched us. We just are very thankful for this great week of convention. He was a walking convention. He was in a convention in one package, Pastor Ben. Chapter 19, verse 4, and think of the NFL contract of a young man in Baltimore City who just signs an NFL contract, and how many friends will he have after the contract is signed? How about it? How about Pastor Barry Quirk does not play the lottery, but let's just pretend he won the lottery. Suddenly, how many friends does he have in this room? Verse 4. Wealth makes many friends. When you have money, you have a lot of people that seem to be very friendly to you. I suppose. I've never been in that situation. Okay, verse 4. Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Poor people need help, but sometimes they're the last people that people look to help. Mother Teresa said that famous sentence, many people talk about the poor, but few people talk to the poor. Can you go in the woods and talk to the poor, or go to the city and talk to the poor? Can we discover a friend by discerning their heart, their potential? Can we recognize that this person actually needs a friend? When God looked at the human race in his great compassion and his great care, he wants to be a friend. Abraham, my friend. James 2:23. In Genesis 18, that amazing story when God is going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says, could I do this and not tell Abraham, my friend? God wants to tell secrets to his friends, John 15, verse 16. I told a story about working at the McDonald's over here, and the manager says to the worker, well, you're to sweep the parking lot. And the worker says, why? And the manager said, do you want to work here or not? Sweep the parking lot. So he goes out, he sweeps the parking lot, and he wonders, why is he doing it? Jesus said, you are no longer slaves, but you are my friends because I tell you my secrets. When you work at McDonald's, you may not be told a secret. You may just be told what to do. You're to wash, you're to clean the parking lot. But if the manager is your friend, he could call you aside, call you in his office and say, listen, I know something. The owner is coming at 4 o'clock and he has a problem with us and it's our parking lot. And I just want you to know that if we clean this parking lot, I'm on the inside, and I can tell you there'll be a great benefit And so let's clean the parking lot. You know, this is how I feel in life. I kind of feel that Jesus isn't telling me what to do without telling me what is really going on. Inviting me into his heart and teaching us love and telling us that relationship with God is so important and so much the meaning of life that we become wealthy in another way. Because when you are wealthy, the proverb says, wealth makes many friends. Not money wealth, but another wealth, being a friend. You become wealthy and others become friends to the wealthy person. Do you remember David was in the cave? And the people came to him, 400 men who were in debt and in distress and discouraged. And they came to the cave because they felt David is wealthy, not with money, but with mystery. I think this is what we felt about Pastor Ben, that he lives and walks with God and he speaks in a way like from the heart and from the spirit and from the scripture. And we are attracted to not anger and bitterness. Let me share a little point here. I'm going to say two names. I said this in the rap the other day. I'm going to say two names, and both names could affect you emotionally. We could be emotional when we hear these two names. Those names, President Obama, President Trump. You know, you and I are called not to be emotional, but we're called to be spiritual. And when I hear the name of a president, whatever name it is, I have in my heart affection for God. I think of prayer. Presidents need prayer. They don't need hatred. Presidents need grace, love, friends, truth, wisdom. What's the point in this world? Hatred. I've never heard the word hatred more in my life than I have in the last couple of years. Hating. Why is that fashionable now? To be hateful, revengeful, unforgiving, angry. It's all around us, but it shouldn't be. We should be wealthy in a way where people are drawn to us because we teach love and faith and prayer and ministry. If we hate people, then we love no one. If we are hateful, then we don't know God, 1 John chapter 3. But if we know God, we will have love. And love is different. Love is not natural. Love is spiritual. Love is the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. I have a piece I want to read you regarding Abraham Lincoln. As you know, he's like one of my guys that I am fascinated with. The Civil War had just ended. The opportunistic scalawags were busy lording it over their fellow Southerners, a hot-blooded contingency of die-hard former rebels gained an audience with President Lincoln. His gentle, friendly manner soon thawed the ice, and the Southerners left with a new respect for their old enemy. A Northern congressman approached the president and criticized him for befriending the enemy, suggesting that instead of befriending them, he should have had them all shot as traitors, as they were. Lincoln smiled and replied, "Am I not destroying my enemies by making them my friends?" Wow. You know, we are body members. Pastor Lewis said, if a body member hurts me, I don't quit being a friend. I let it go. I'm not overly sensitive. I want to be spirit-filled and spirit-minded. In Europe, I teach because I have experience there when people borrow money and they don't pay it back. And in the church, somebody in the third row borrows from somebody in the 17th row, and it goes on for weeks and months, and eventually he leaves, and then eventually they leave the church. Why? He leaves because he can't see him anymore, because he can't pay him back. And he leaves because he's angry that he was in the church and he never paid him back. And he doesn't like the church. This should not be. You don't loan money. Give money. If you can't give it, then don't loan it. Unless you can take it and just kiss it goodbye. If you loan it, you're going to have to, and they don't, you get it, don't get it paid back, you're going to have to walk over to the person and say, "That's okay, I made a mistake. I loaned you money. I should have given you the money. Don't worry about it. It's over and gone." That's amazing. I have seen it happen. You know, friendship. At the end of Jesus' life, do you know what he did? He made a dinner for 12. No, 11 friends. No, 12 friends. Judas also. He made a dinner, because when you're going to die, the only thing that really counts is your friends. When David, at the end of his life, he writes a list of 37 mighty men. These are my friends. When we're going to die, the point is, were we wealthy enough to make friends? Were we wealthy enough to forgive enemies? Were we wealthy enough to pray for our president, whoever he may be? Were we wealthy enough to pursue somebody that I haven't seen? Look at, this is the last part of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, thank you, Lord. I love you guys. You're here in church tonight. Means a lot to me. Means a lot. You're my friends. Thank you, Lord. We are friends. We get addicted to it. The music may not be your preferred style, but your preferred style goes to the cross, and you listen to what Jesus is saying and ministering to us. The church style we have may not be your preference, but you can be here because of the deeper elements of this life. Look at, how about being offended or ashamed of the Apostle Paul? Look at chapter 1, verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Asia was a part of Turkey. It's an ancient word for a part of Turkey. They've all turned away from me. Of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes? He mentions two heretics. Then they turned away from the Apostle Paul. When I was visiting Dr. Stevens in the end days of his life, I was thinking of this verse. How many people turned away from him? I don't know, and I wasn't counting, and I don't really care. I think of Jesus on the cross, people turning away. I think that we are not greater than our master. I think of how it can happen. There can be confusion and trouble at the end of somebody's life. In Pastor's case, there was trouble because of Alzheimer's and confusion, and that happens, and other reasons too, which we don't need to go into. But Paul is in trouble. He's in adversity. He's in trouble. Paul is in trouble. Look at verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. I don't want to sound like a hero. I don't think any of us are talking about being any hero. I'm not any hero. You are not any hero. I don't care about that. I care about day-to-day living with fellowship with the God that loves us and has put love in our hearts for people. And they may never know how much we are for them or how much we pray for them, but it is in our hearts. Whether it is President Obama or whether it is President Trump, it is a issue of love, of faith, of God in us, of our communities, our friends, and people that don't know or understand us, and then the people that are very close to us. And here we have Paul saying, he oft refreshed me. In the last couple of years, I've been thinking, how many friends does somebody need? I was thinking of it from a biblical point of view. How many friends does a person need? And you know what my answer came that I think in my heart? I think one. I think I just need one. I need one. I just think it's one. A very good friend. A friend. A real friend. Because Adam had Eve. Because Paul had Timothy. Elijah. Eliah had Elisha. Because Moses had Joshua. Because it seems to me it's not numbers. But where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am. And with those two are firing on all cylinders. When those two are in fellowship with God, with each other, there is a satisfaction that comes. And Paul has found it in this man. This man often refreshed me. Like he, maybe in our world, he often cared about me. I didn't see him. Like Pastor Satellite in China, I had heard about him, and I had never met him for 22 years. And finally, I went to China, and I met him for the first time. And he said, I have been listening to you for 22 years. We are friends. And I go, I think so too. I think we are the same. We are friends in the spirit. 7 years passed and I didn't see him, but I know about him. And I think that happens in the work of the ministry. And I think this happened with Paul when he was in the prison. Let's read it and finish up here. It says, he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Let's change the word. He was not ashamed of my lousy reputation. He was not ashamed of my crippled disposition. He was not ashamed of, like, I'm eating out of the dumpster. He's not ashamed that I have sores on my arm and that I'm in and out of the hospital. He's not ashamed of the grades I got in school. He's not ashamed of my last name. He's not ashamed of the color of my skin or my reputation or my family or what part of town I live in. He's not ashamed of me. He's not ashamed of my chain. Look at the next verse, 17. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and he found me. Now, Rome was a big city. I believe it was at this time about 1 million people. Imagine, no buses, no metros, no subway. And he tried to find Paul. And he walks over here, knocks on the door. I'm looking for one called Paul from, he's from Tartarus, but he's been in the church in Antioch. Have you heard of him? He's a preacher. Have you heard of him? No, check over. And so Onesiphorus goes over here, knocks on the door. He walks for a day through the city. He is looking for him, finding, there's no GPS, no email address, nothing like that. He's trying to find diligently. He sought me out. He was looking for me. And he found me. When he found me, my friend found me. And we sat. And we talked, and I listened, and he listened, and I heard news from a far country, and I was encouraged in Jesus. You see, you need somebody like this. You need a friend. You need somebody in your life that's going to be there. You and I need somebody that's going to be for real there. I don't mean that they are going to be running around doing favors for me. This is a casual friendship and maybe, well, an important part of friendship. They may not be able to do it, but when I am with them, I can open my heart to my wife and whisper, and she listens and understands. I want to say, my wife has been so important in my life because in those times she was there to just say the things that helped me believe I can do this or believe that this is okay. I needed somebody to understand me, love me and encourage me, maybe when nobody was there, but she was there. And in the ministry, when a pastor, when a pastor is being used by God, it's very possible his wife is one of the main reasons why he's being encouraged and he's making decisions. You need to go there. She may say, you need to go there. Don't think about me. This is bigger. This is God. God is in life. You need to do this, or we need to do this, or this is how I see it. This is an amazing blessing. And Aquila and Priscilla were like this for Apollos, and they were like this for the Apostle Paul. Aquila and Priscilla. He said, Verse 18, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, you know very well. Our prayers this spring, that God would put people together in marriage, in the plan of God, without pressure, but in guidance and wisdom and in love. Our prayer is that God would bless in our Bible college, and we learn not to forsake Paul in Asia. All those in Asia have turned away from me. They have forsaken me. But we want to be a loyal friend in times of adversity, in times of need. Also that we would have new Bible studies this coming spring. And think and pray about it. I ask you as a church, we have Owings Mills, we have very good things going on, and we are sowing the seed, that God would raise up people and put it in their hearts regarding countries. This would be from the Holy Spirit. Like, what countries, what parts of the world, Lord, that you want us to go to and send teams and see you do this work that we are called to do. And because we are friends of God, he will tell us. He will. He will speak to us. And he will guide us in it. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, you heard these things tonight. We do bring the ministry before you, a ministry of friendship with you. You are our friend. We cannot hardly believe it, that God is our friend forever. And that this would be amongst us, we would feel it and sense it, that we are in a certain level wealthy and caring about others and making friends through this love. Father, for the week we had with a dear friend, Pastor Ben, for this great week of blessing, for the Christian Day School, the teachers and students, give us a great semester. For the Costa Rica conference in a couple weeks, for Eurocon in Poland in March with a lot of friends gathering, that some here should go to Poland, to Eurocon, and plan now. Tickets are not that expensive now. And just plan now to go to Eurocon and be with all those precious people in the presence of God. Lord, raising up your servants, marriages, Lord, your perfect will through the coming years, putting people together in your perfect plan, way above and beyond us, by your Spirit doing this work, guiding and leading us in love and as friends. And then anyone here tonight who's not a believer, come to Jesus on the internet, listening, come to Jesus tonight and believe in Jesus personally. Trust in him. With all your heart. And turn away from the bad way and see the good path. The good path. Turn away from the swamp of life. The life of sin and hatred and revenge and unforgiving spirit and bitterness. And find the good path. the good way, the new way, the living way. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.